This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm grateful for the bells and the beauty of the music that they played to usher us into worship this morning. I'm grateful to be with you and to see all of you here. In spite of losing an hour of sleep, here we are, and we are ready to worship. I'd like to welcome especially those of you who are visiting with us this morning, and we hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you, and we hope to have a chance to get to know you a little bit. If you are looking for a place to call your church home, we would love to greet you in Reed Hall, which is just outside this door. There will be Andrew ministers with blue name tags in Reed Hall, and they can greet you and answer any questions you might have. We would invite you and everyone here to register. The registration pads are at the end of each row, and if you would pass those down the row and back again. And if you're sitting on the center aisle here as that registration pad arrives back to you, if you wouldn't mind tearing out the sheets that are filled out, that would be a great help to our ushers. If you're a college student, we'd love for you to come back at noon and join the college students in Reed Hall, and you go from there to find a place to have lunch. That's a weekly practice of our college students and a great way to connect with other friends. A couple of things I want to highlight for today. Downstairs in the main lobby, we're having our gourmet market where you can buy frozen casseroles or sweet things and put them in your freezer and have them ready for Easter. And the proceeds go toward our children's, youth, and preschool ministries. So that's a great way to pretend like you made something delicious for Easter, but you don't even have to work for it. Also, while you're down there, if you have brought prizes for our Easter egg hunt, there's a bin down there in the lobby to collect those prizes, and there's more detail in your insert about what we need and what those prizes are for. Also, you have in your bulletin this morning reminders about our upcoming Beethoven concert. It's a great opportunity to invite someone new to come to something here at the church with you to have them experience West End. Or our Lenten concerts, which are at noon every Thursday during Lent, followed by lunch. That's also a wonderful way to worship in the middle of the work week. Finally, I have someone I want to introduce to you this morning. I'm going to invite Henry Ambrose to come meet me up here. Henry started last Monday as our new property manager, and Henry has already taken on a lot during this first week, and we are just so excited to welcome him and to make him part of the West End family. So if you have any questions about the building, call Henry. We're so glad to welcome you, Henry. Let's welcome Henry together. Thank you so much. We now turn our hearts and minds as we continue in a spirit of worship during this season of Lent to consider the question together, why is it that we are called to give? Let us continue our worship together.
Lord,
thank you.
We come before the Lord just as we are. We offer our gifts in thanks for God's gracious presence. Let us bring our confession to the one who dares to join in holy fellowship even with people like us. God of all good gifts, too often we forget the wondrous joys of living fully in your creation. We ignore our connection to all that surrounds us. We deny our relationship with all of your children. We forget your love for us. We think of ourselves as insignificant, or at least too imperfect to do your will. We are so much like Zacchaeus. We do not always use our resources well, yet we struggle to catch a glimpse of you, and we hope to be summoned by you. Save us, gracious Lord. We long to turn from our wrongful ways and give our lives back to you. Take heart and rejoice. God always summons us. Christ continually welcomes us to join in the bounteous gospel feast, and the Holy Spirit employs every gift we have to offer. The mysterious three-in-one God welcomes all persons to a place at the table of grace. Please join us as we share the peace of Christ with one another and greet your neighbor. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
While the grown-ups are being seated, I have something I want to show y'all this morning. Oh, here we go. This is a box of some of my stuff. I have a lot of stuff that I really love. I've got some clothes that I love, some shoes that I like. I've got some toys. Sorry, I'm having trouble seeing you around all my stuff. But I'm just going to hold on to my stuff because I really love it and it's important to me.
Carol, it's
so
nice to see you.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good.
Can you?
What are you trying to do?
I was going
to
give you a hug, but...
Well, I...
See you.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hug Emily. What should I do if I want to hug Emily? Put my stuff down? You think I need to put my stuff down? Okay. Let's try this again, Emily. I'm just going to let go of my stuff here. Put it down.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Emily. Oh, wow. That felt so good. So much better to hug Emily than just to hold on to all my stuff. You know, sometimes we like our things, you know? We like to have a lot of stuff. We like to have money. We like to have lots of toys. And sometimes we can hold on to those things so much that it's hard for God to give us the love that God has for us. It's hard for us to receive the love that God is trying to give us. So what we try to do is be generous and give away some of our things so that we have arms free to receive God's love. That's kind of what the story of Zacchaeus is about. So I want you to listen today as we think about the story of Zacchaeus and how he gave stuff away so he could receive the love of Jesus. And maybe you and I can try to give some of our things away to show our love and to receive love from other people. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you that you're always loving us. You're always offering us your love and your grace. Sometimes it's hard for us to receive it because our arms are full of things. But help us to give away things, to be generous and kind, so that we can receive your love with open arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can return to your seats with parents or friends or grandparents. I wonder if when you saw the sermon title this morning, you rolled your eyes a little bit and thought, oh boy, we may have to say that word. There's a word that I don't like to say in church. It's kind of like the Harry Potter books. You know, if any of you read the Harry Potter books, the evil wizard in Harry Potter is named Voldemort. But most of the characters in the books don't want to say the name Voldemort. So they refer to him as he who must not be named, or you know who. And we have certain things like that in the church that it's hard for us to name out loud. But this morning, we're going to be talking a little bit about money. Now, it is uncomfortable for me as a preacher and for many of us to talk openly and directly about money in the church. But if we look at our scriptures, it gets talked about a lot in the Bible. There are 500 or so verses in the Bible about prayer. And four times that many, over 2,000 verses about money, wealth, and possessions. In Jesus' teachings alone, someone has calculated that about 15% of what he says has to do with money and possessions. And if we narrow it down just to Luke's gospel, Jesus talks at an even higher percentage of his time about these things. In fact, the word gospel means good news. But as we read along in Luke's gospel, it may seem like the gospel is not good news to the rich, to those who have a lot of possessions. It starts right at the beginning When Mary learns she is with child with the Son of God, she sings the Magnificat, and she says, God fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. In fact, Dr. Tom Long, who is a retired professor of preaching, preached a sermon I listened to recently where he said, it's almost as if in Luke's gospel, every time we hear the word rich, you can hear Luke saying, sends the rich away empty. We get to chapter 6, where Jesus is preaching the version of the Sermon on the Mount that appears in Luke's gospel, and Jesus says, blessed are the poor, not the poor in spirit, blessed are the poor. And on the flip side, Jesus says, and woe to you who are rich. Later on, we get parables about the rich man and Lazarus, or the rich fool. And the rich man never comes out looking good in these parables of Jesus. And then we get to chapter 18, where a rich young man comes up to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, sell all your possessions and give the proceeds to the poor, and then come and follow me. And sadly, Jesus looks as the man walks away. He can't do it. And then Jesus says these words that are so hard to hear. It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. So right about now, in the 18th chapter of Luke, I'm slinking down in my chair. I'm feeling a knot in my stomach. Because I am rich. By whatever standard you want to look at it, measuring against the global community or even our city of Nashville, I'm one of the rich. I was born into a family that had a strong financial foundation. Never once in my life have I ever had to worry that I would be able to put food on the table. I've never been worried about paying my bills or having enough. And as I stand here today, I have everything I need and most of what I want, and the ability to make choices for myself and for my children about education, and I am rich. And so if I get to this point in Luke's gospel, I begin to wonder, how does God look upon me? Does God look at me and say, just waiting for me to give everything away and give all the proceeds to the poor? Is that how I'm called to follow Jesus? Is that the only way? And then we come upon this story of Zacchaeus. And I realize there's more to the story. And there's something in this story that is good news for me and people like me. So come with me into this story, knowing what we know up to this point. And let's observe this interaction Jesus has with a man called Zacchaeus. Luke tells us a few things about Zacchaeus. He is a chief tax collector, and he is rich. Right? A chief tax collector. What did that mean back in Jesus' day? Well, if you were a tax collector, that meant that you had paid a lump sum of money to the Roman Empire. We know that the Roman Empire dominated and oppressed many lands in the Middle East, including Palestine. The Jewish people were not free. They were subjects of the Roman Empire. So a tax collector would have been a Jew who had chosen to cooperate with the Roman Empire, paid a lump sum to the Roman Empire for the rights to collect taxes, and then would go about among the village, among his fellow Jews, to collect, to make up the money he'd already paid out. And of course, to collect a little more, and sometimes a lot more. Now Zacchaeus, being a chief tax collector, benefited not only from doing that himself, but from all of the other profits that the other tax collectors were collecting. So he was benefiting from a system that oppressed his own people. That's why they despised the tax collectors so much. Now, some people have argued that Zacchaeus perhaps was not corrupt. It may be that he stands up to Jesus and says, "Look, Jesus, if I have defrauded anybody," but we don't know that he has. He may have carried out his role as straightforwardly as he could, but nevertheless, he profits and benefits from an oppressive system, as do I. I was born into a system and policies and a way of life that put me ahead of other people just by being born where I was born. And there are others born in other neighborhoods who have three strikes against them before they even start kindergarten. So even if Zacchaeus goes about his business in a relatively honest and straightforward way, he's still benefiting while others are suffering. So he's a chief tax collector, and he is rich. There's something else, though, that we know about Zacchaeus. He wants to see Jesus. I don't know why, but I wonder if, with all of his wealth, with all of his power in the community, if he still felt empty. If he had realized that all of this stuff didn't satisfy his soul, that he wanted something more. He wanted meaning. He didn't belong in the community anymore. Everybody hated him. For whatever reason, he had heard something about this traveling preacher who was coming through Jericho, and he wanted so badly to see him that he made a fool out of himself. A grown man in first century Palestine would never run in public. You'd have to lift up your robes and show your ankles, and that was totally embarrassing. A grown man would never climb a tree. That's what five-year-olds did. But Zacchaeus put all of that stuff aside. He didn't care that people were laughing at him as he ran and climbed up that tree. He wanted so badly to see Jesus, maybe not even knowing what to expect. And so Jesus sees him and walks up to the tree. And here's the moment. Here's the moment where we, reading this story, might think Jesus would say, "Ugh, look at that rich man," and keep walking. But he doesn't. He stops at that tree and sees this chief tax collector who is rich. And he calls him by name. Zacchaeus. As if to say, "I know your whole story. I know who you are." And then he says to Zacchaeus, "I must stay at your house today." It's not even a question. It's not really even an invitation. It's just a statement. "I am coming to be with you. I'm coming to your home. I have chosen your home as a place where I want to dwell." And we know what Zacchaeus does in that moment. He scrambles down off that tree in a hurry. And Luke says he was happy to welcome him. He put down his stuff and opened his arms to welcome Jesus. Jesus offered himself in relationship and love. And in response, it changed the way the Zacchaeus looked at his money and his possessions. It changed everything. Suddenly he had what had true meaning in his life, and he was willing to let go of all the stuff. And he said, "Jesus, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. And if I have defrauded anybody, I will pay them back four times, going way beyond what the law required." You notice the order of things, right? First, Zacchaeus encountered Jesus. First, Jesus called Zacchaeus by name and claimed him and came into his home. Jesus didn't say, "Now, Zacchaeus, if you give away half your possessions, I'll come to your house and eat. Now, Zacchaeus, if you change your attitude about your money, I'll..." No. Jesus just came and invited Zacchaeus into relationship. And it was Zacchaeus' choice to respond the way he did. He He didn't give it all away. He gave half of it away. Jesus didn't demand that he stop being a tax collector. Jesus didn't demand anything. It was all response to the grace he had been shown. The same is true for you and me, my friends. We don't give in order to earn God's love and respect. We don't give in order to get anything. We give because Christ has first given to us. We give out of a grateful response to one who has put our lives, our money, our possessions in the right perspective. We give because Christ has called us by name and has said to you and me, I want to dwell in your heart. And when that happens, everything we're holding, all of our stuff, our money, our possessions, looks totally different. And we are freed up to be generous. Now, it's hard to know sometimes. How much should I give? Zacchaeus gave half. The young man was told to give it all away. The church has taught for centuries that we are to tithe. We are to give 10% of our income to God's work. But there's no magic formula. The church has always taught the tithe is kind of the minimum. We're really supposed to have an entirely different attitude and perspective toward our money, all of it, 100% of it. So I don't know what the answer is for you and how you respond with how you manage your money, how you spend it, how you give it, how you save it. I'm not here today to talk about how we do that, because there's no magic formula. What I wanted to talk about today was why. Zacchaeus gave because Jesus welcomed him into loving relationship. And I think the same is true for you and me. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning gives us an opportunity to proclaim what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, this foundation upon which we stand and which empowers us to be generous. So will you stand as you're able and turn to number 888 in your hymnals and join with me in this affirmation of our faith. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering of our loving God. If you have a prayer request this morning that you would like to share with us, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. Do please indicate if you would like your prayer requests to be shared or if they should remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. The rose this morning on our table celebrates the birth of Jacob Joseph Goodwin to Wes and Aaron Goodwin on February 22nd. He's also welcomed by his big sister, Audie. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. You saw your children as slaves in Egypt and brought them to freedom. You see creation held captive by our desire for more and weep. And yet you pour out your love on us each day. All that we have learned and think we know has not brought meaning to our lives. The brokenness of our world needs your peace. Our pain-shattered hearts need your healing. And so you sent your voice through your servant, Jesus. All creation weeps with grief and cries to you for comfort. All the broken of our world longs for your wholeness. All who hunger for hope long for the sweetness of your grace and joy. And so you fill us with joy and love through the Holy Spirit. God in community, may we see you, hear you, and know you as we move through this Lenten season, as we pray the words that Jesus has taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lauren Listurgeon will now come to share a ministry moment with us.
Good morning. My name is Lauren Listurgeon, and I currently serve as the chair of the Missions and Outreach Committee. I want to invite you to join us for our 7th annual Great Day of Service on Saturday, April 7th from 8:30 to noon. After 2 years of hosting a church-wide potato drop, we are excited to offer the opportunity to serve at several different organizations this year. We've heard testimonies about how meaningful volunteering at different organizations have been in past years. Some Weston members have found their place of service and continue to volunteer at an organization on a weekly basis, all because they decided to spend 3 hours one Saturday participating in the Great Day of Service. We'll gather here at West End at 8:30 a.m. for a light breakfast and some last-minute instructions, and then we'll go into the community to serve. We have projects at 15 different organizations to choose from. You'll find a list of the partners on this special insert in your bulletin. All ages are invited and encouraged to participate. Childcare will be provided for children 4 and under for those who register by Monday, April 2nd. Note there's a misprint in the bulletin, and the correct date for that is Monday, April 2nd. Our hope is to have over 100 West End members serving in the community that day. Help us reach our goal by signing up in Reed Hall today. You can also sign up online at the link listed in the bulletin insert. We hope that you will join us. And now, with all humility, let us make our offering to God, trusting not in worldly gain, but in God's sustaining grace.
Throughout this time of worship together, we have been reminded of this wondrous love that calls each one of us by name and sets us free to be loving and generous people. May we go in his name to be generous and free in this world as it is today. Amen.